Welcome back to another episode of Titans of Now. Titans is a showcase of ServiceNow personalities that have punched above their weight and elevated the ServiceNow community. Titans of Now is brought to you by me, Robert the Duke Fedoric. If you want to see what I'm up to, check out my website, theduke.digital. Here you'll find all my CJ and the Duke episodes, links to my YouTube content, and my upcoming course, Hired, the Definitive Guide to Profiles That Win ServiceNow Jobs. Hey everyone, welcome to another Titans of ServiceNow. Today we celebrate an early Republic Day in India and welcome India's latest entry into the Titans pantheon. He's a two-time knowledge speaker, three-time community MVP, and one-time dev MVP. He sits at the top of the community rankings for ITOM. He's the co-host of the Lawton Wee Pratton podcast, co-host of ServiceNow Mavericks, and co-host of the Let's Talk ServiceNow Clubhouse. He is an absolutely massive contributor to the ServiceNow ecosystem. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my pleasure to introduce you to Ashutosh the Royal Munal. I didn't get your last name right, did I?
No, it's right. Munal.
Munal. Okay. Well, thank you for being on the show, Ashutosh. I'm sorry it took so long to get you on the show.
No problem, Robert. Thanks for having me this time. It's my pleasure to be here.
All right. So everybody knows we start at the start. Tell us how you got your start in ServiceNow.
Interesting one. So I'm basically an engineer with a background. And then I opted for my master's, which was business administration in a city called as Pune in Maharashtra, India. From there, I got placed within an IT company. They hired me as a business analyst. And in that company, I was introduced to ServiceNow. So I was actually, nominated me as a business analyst for a tool and which we know now, ServiceNow. But I was so excited with the capabilities of the tool. I moved myself from the business part to the technical part. But I must say it was a very tough journey for me because, you know, right, no projects in the beginning. So you need to learn on your own. But yeah, that was the time when I got introduced to ServiceNow and I started learning about ServiceNow in early 2014.
And what part of the platform do you resonate the most with?
If you ask me 2 years ago, it was ITOM for sure, because I am a big ITOM fan. I have worked on ITOM. I did 4 or 5 implementations from scratch for ITOM, like event management, discovery, service mapping, provisioning part of it. And if you ask me today, I'm pro citizen developer fan. I like Flow Designers, Integration Hub, because App Engine Studio, basically, it has made life so easy for the citizen developers and for the organizations to quickly build their apps and deploy it and use it.
I would like to dive a lot deeper on that because I think the citizen developer concept has been around for quite a while. There's been like lots of different changes and technologies added to the stack to support that. And I think there's still a question mark in everybody's head on whether or not like citizen development works. So why don't you give your opinion on that? I mean, you must think it works if you're investing your time in it, right?
Yeah, definitely. To be honest, I'm doing it from last 2.5 years. So the delegated development part of ServiceNow has helped us to start this program within an organization. Trust me, initially it was a tough journey, but we had a vision. We draw some boundaries that, okay, we will do citizen development, but some specific parts of the platform. We are not going to do citizen development for the whole platform. So we started small, and then we started adding some extra capabilities to our program. So we started with simple catalog items. Then in Rome, or before Rome, then we got App Engine Studio, which already eased our life because the pipeline was there to deploy. Then you had Table Creator. You had Guided App Engine Creator. So these all things kept adding on to our program, which made our life easy. But there were some drawbacks, and the governance part of this citizen development program was really tough because we really made clear that who will approve this request for deployment, who will approve the app development, who will do the architecture work of this. So we did a great discussion, and within the organization, the vision was very clear. So it helped us to grow quickly from last 2.5 years. If I consider I would have rated our citizen development program 2 or 3 out of 10. And right now we are almost, the CSAT score within the organization for our program is 7.9, which is pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously the organization considers it a positive experience, right?
Yeah.
I wonder if you could go more specific about some of the difficulties, because I think like everybody instinctually knows that there's a governance element to this. We can't just let people run wild. So maybe some specific specific things, what you mean by governance and how it was difficult to implement.
A simple example is table creation, because back then we had a different licensing model. So we were paying based up. So if I create a custom table, we were paying. So the person who is using the table or referring to the table has to be counted as a licensed user, right? So that part was very difficult to restrict people to create custom tables and give custom roles to that table. So that part was very difficult for us. But again, App Engine, App Fulfiller thing, which came in before Roam, that solved the issue. The second issue which we really faced was the credential storage, because the limitation of CyberArk licenses actually was hampering us to do citizen development for the integration part, because we went one step ahead and we wanted to also delegate some integration parts to the citizen developers, and each team has their own credentials. So that part was very difficult to handle, because then we need to prove to our security teams that how secure the platform is and how we encrypt the data within the platform. To convince your security team is always difficult. So that was the major chunk where we gave our time.
I didn't even think about that angle, right? Like, we have this platform, it's secure, we know who develops on it, but then you all of a sudden explode the number of people who develop on it, and now there's a question mark for security. Have you written anything on that specifically, like the security component?
Not yet, but I have written one article which summarizes what components of ServiceNow platform contributes to citizen development.
We'll have that in the description below, folks. Be sure to check that and read that article.
Yeah, and one more thing which was very interesting within the organization was there were multiple DevOps teams who wanted to do development on the platform, right? So are we going to allow them to develop in the same scoped application, or are we going to allow them to create different scoped application? Who is going to take that decision? So it was our team, because we were the enablers. And that governance part of approval of the scoped application was very important, because we need to convince the DevOps team that why should you go for a new scoped application, or why should you share the common application? So yeah, interesting one. We learned a lot, that I should say.
Do you find, like, at your organization, when you say citizen developer, are you actually talking about like a real dev that's not on the ServiceNow team? Or are you talking about somebody who does something else and they're just building their, you know, they're building in a low code fashion?
No, so these were the DevOps teams who didn't even know anything within ServiceNow. So we created our own training plan within the organization to give them a feeling of, let's say, for example, what Flow Designer is, what are update sets, what is source control. So we created a high level training material for them. So they used to first get trained through it, and then they used to get an access to this program. Without that, they were not given access to this program. So at least we used to make them familiar with the components of the tool, and then only they used to get the access to this program. So business owners, basically, or the DevOps teams, I would name.
Right. I think what I was getting at is, like, of course, you're training them, whoever they are, right? But is the who of the program, like, are they developers before they go in?
Not mandatory.
Okay. So it was just anybody, like, anybody could raise their hand and jump into the program. And then by the time they're familiar, you know, there would be a set of stuff that they could do at the end. And you could be a developer going in, or just a team manager or a director or whatever. Is that the case?
Yeah, exactly. And the program was so powerful that ultimately we have turned other technology developers into ServiceNow developers who joined our team eventually. So that's the beauty, you see, that people started. We basically migrated some other developers into ServiceNow developers.
All right. You also have a crazy pedigree of ITOM experience, and ITOM is actually like, it's a pretty big space, right? You got event management in there, you got discovery in there. Service mapping is ITOM too, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And would you say you're a master of that whole suite, or is there a place where you like more than others?
I would say event management, discovery, and service mapping, because I have done many implementations on these three topics. I would not say that I am a specialist in cloud governance and provisioning platform, because that's very new for me as well. And the evolution of that particular pillar of that suite is huge, because you should know AWS, for example, Azure, Google, and I did not had a chance to contribute there. But event management, yes, discovery and service mapping, great, because every day you get something new to learn, new challenges.
Yeah.
And it's very interesting to do these things, because CMDB is heart of the system, right? And to improve it, to make it accurate, yeah, you need at least these three things: ITOM visibility and ITOM health.
Because I feel like ITOM is one of those space where everybody's constantly like pouring money into it, and anytime there's like an expectation, like a gut feel expectation, like why do I do ITOM? Because I have to, right? Anytime you have that kind of mentality, there's risk that you're just pouring money in and not recouping the value. So, what would you say is like a really common mistake in deploying discovery and service mapping and event management?
That is interesting one, because I have seen some customers that they adopt these technologies very late into their implementation. So we should not delay this, because like I said, CMDB is heart of the system. If you are doing manual imports, or if you are using some other tool which is charging you more for managing your CMDB. So basically you have two tools where you are paying for the same capability. So that was the mistake I have seen. And my suggestion will be start early with ITOM, specifically discovery, because it will give you the whole infrastructure information and it will be up to date. Because I have seen many organizations, they were still maintaining few data in Excel sheets. And then your procurement was hampered. Your software lifecycle management was hampered about that assets, and it was a mess. So don't delay. Start as soon as possible with this ITOM area.
All right. And on event management, I've come close to an event management implementation, but it never got off the ground from the business level. They were looking for something that was more like, it was in healthcare, right? So they were looking at event management in terms of like the clinical aspect. Like if the surgeon drops the scalpel, like that's an event we care about. And can we get some kind of system that captures all of that? Like the tech, the operations, all of it. Where was the question I was going with here? but from my perspective, it seems like the hardest bit of event management is having that abstraction layer above the messages, right? Or something that collates them together.
Mainly this event management, which I have worked on, is monitoring your critical assets within the organization, right? So let's say you have a critical application which is running on a server. So if the server goes down, there should be automatically a P1 raised, auto remediation should be in place for that particular server. So all those things we did in the event management. The evolution is really, really good, because machine learning, AI has been now incorporated with event management, which is contributing to do some analytics that, okay, in past 1 year, for how much time it was down, or what is the availability of this particular service within the organization. And that analysis is done based upon the alerts and the events coming from the whole service map.
Do you have to have a high level of maturity to exploit those features, or are they features that make the turning on of the functionality easier for the organization?
Turning on, because like I said, the insights are very great. If you adopt to these technologies, you see the granular details and where the issue is exactly. So it helps the, network engineers to quickly resolve the issues.
All right. So you've done a ton of stuff in the ecosystem over a few years. Why don't you tell us a time where you thought your back was against the wall and you weren't sure you were going to make it and there was nobody there to help you?
Yeah. So I will go in 2014 when I started actually my career. For the first 2 years, it was very difficult for me because no projects to work on. So I was not getting any knowledge. I was like, okay, should I continue with this technology or not? How I will survive in this competitive market? Then I was introduced to the community, and then I started looking at the community. People used to ask the questions. I used to try to solve them, implement them in my personal instance, for example. And that actually triggered my learning path. And after 3 years, I started giving interviews, because as soon as I started giving interviews, after 2 years, I was rejected terribly. So, and that triggered me basically. So the rejection is always not bad. It is actually good. You should face rejection so that you will climb the ladder. And that is what I think was the turning point in my career. And then when I was 4 years experience in ServiceNow, I got the first leader award, which actually turned my thinking towards the technology. And I started giving more time, more focus, kept learning, never gave up attitude. Yeah. And now I'm here.
Nice. And then on the opposite side of that, what's one of the things that you're most proud of in your years on ServiceNow?
I got a job directly from India into Netherlands. That's really a proud moment for me, because you already know how competitive market it is in India. So everybody wants a good job. Everybody wants to move from one country to another country. So that was the proudest moment. And why I got it? Because I got MVP award. So that was the title so there were, let's say there were 10 people, but that title was the title which kept me at the top. So, okay, he's MVP. He knows more about the tool. So let's select him. So that was the turning point.
That was a community MVP award or the dev MVP award?
Community MVP award.
Right. Okay. Okay. I have what I hope is not a super ignorant question. Okay. But it's just, I live over here in North America. I myself have immigrated between two different countries. I started off in Canada, and I immigrated to the US. I'm a US citizen now. Is there, like, I guess the only way to ask it is, why is there such a motivation to leave the country, to get out of India and to do your work in another country, as opposed to just finding a good ServiceNow job in India?
What I think personally is the monetary benefits. So when I was in the early stage of my career, with 6, 7, 8 years of experience, I think it was the monetary benefits which we used to get were not that good that time. But the situation is changing. But when you come here, or if you change the country, there is a stability also. So in terms of the work, because I work for a product-based company, so from consulting to product-based company, I feel that difference. So I was really happy with that. And then in general, if you see why everyone wants to move to a different country is because they want to grow in their career path as well. So if I now go from here to India, I will land at a, let's say, top tier within the organizations. So within a less years of experience, because if you keep switching between India also, the market is so competitive, you need to be upgraded. You need to know everything that is expected, definitely. But the growth within the ladder is slowed down. That is what my personal thinking is about this particular topic.
No, I appreciate that. And I hope I didn't offend anybody with the question itself, but I just feel like it's, not a day goes by where, I'm not asked, hey, like, help me find jobs in other places. I got a link that'll come up right about here to a video I did on at least that perspective from the USA. But I'm just, I've always wondered, like, what drives that?
I want to get retired soon, so I don't want to work for my 60 years.
Oh, amen. So, yeah, amen.
If I come here, if I save something, I can either start my own company, move back to India so I can provide employment. Second part is I can have an early retirement with my savings, so I can roam the world. And that's, I have started seeing with the young generation and our generation, at least, that this is the thinking, that people wants to save. They want to be stable financially, and then they want to take a risk, either to get retired or start something on their own.
All right. So let's switch tracks again. If there was one thing you can change about either the product or the ecosystem or both, what would it be?
I will start with the product. So when I started understanding ServiceNow properly, I have faced this issue of licensing. You might have heard it from many other people, but yeah, it's really a pain because each customer, each module follows different licensing mechanism, and it is very hard to keep track of it. So when we started, for example, with Citizen Development Program, we re-evaluated our licensing mechanism. But what we were following in 2020 and what we have right now, there is a huge difference. So what I think personally is we should, or ServiceNow should streamline this, make it more transparent, and there should be an easy way to track the licensing usage and everything. Because sometimes, yeah, we have subscription management, but I think it is not updated properly because we still have some issues there. So that's the one part I will definitely would like to change in the product. And within the ecosystem, this is going to be interesting. The transparency between the hosts of the meetups and the people who want to actually participate, because I want to share my knowledge, but I'm not able to find a right person, or I don't know who is the host of a particular region, because I want to present, I want to share my knowledge to the ecosystem, but I don't see that list, or I don't know people whom I can reach out to and how they can help me to give me a slot within a quarter to present.
And are these people just industrious people, like just ServiceNow community members who set up their own mini snugs, or are you talking about like the official ServiceNow user groups?
No, I'm talking about the meetups which are happening, like for example in Pune, in Bangalore, so ServiceNow meetups. Official ServiceNow.
Official ServiceNow meetups. Okay. And so you're saying it's difficult to find out who is running those. So if you wanted to, you know, go to Pune and present, you just wouldn't know where to start, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. I felt that here in the US too. There was a time where it was like, I know why they did it. It's just, it really put a chilling effect on the user groups. It's just like at one point they were, in Chicago, it was like, okay, partners aren't allowed unless you're sponsoring. And it's just like, you know what I mean? The attendance just dropped out. I can see why, because I'd hate to be like the one customer and then all the partners that are based out of Chicago, you have one customer and nine people trying to sell to that customer at the same event. But like now it's just so big. It's just like, why just take the reins off and make it easier to see. Yeah, make it easier to see.
And also what I think is, maybe they should release the quarterly planning soon. So, and they should say, okay, there is a slot available here. If anyone is interested, yeah, please sign up as a speaker. Like for knowledge, they do. For Now Forum, they do. Now I'm struggling already from last two quarters to find a person. So that's a pain for me at the moment.
What I love about you, though, is that it's kind of like, hey, if I can't find a way to do this via official channels, like, why don't we just bake our own? And so you've got with you and Dhruv doing Mavericks, and actually right about here there'll be a link to see Dhruv's episode of Titans, but you and Dhruv are doing Mavericks, and now you've got this Let's Talk ServiceNow Clubhouse thing. I was shocked when you and Dhruv invited me onto the Mavericks the first time. Yep. And I show up and I'm like, oh, there's gonna be like, you know, a few people and we'll talk shop. It'll be small and intimate. And there's like 200 people there. And I'm like, if you guys can pull 200 people onto a Zoom meeting for Mavericks, like what must your official meetups look like?
And the credit also goes to you, right? Because the content was really helpful and people were there to listen to your real experience. So I think that was the trigger to that audience number.
I don't know, man. I couldn't have been just for me. But I love seeing that though, right? There's such a need, not only for people who are like, they want to consume everything they can to learn and up their game in ServiceNow, but then there's other people who are just saying, yeah, well, like we want to provide a space for that. And yeah. And you guys are setting up Mavericks and Let's Talk ServiceNow on Clubhouse and all these people are coming. What do you guys have? Like, is there a difference in the intent and content between Mavericks and the Clubhouse?
Indeed. So I will start with Clubhouse first because it is latest. We want to answer real-time questions of the audience. So one question was, should I go and adopt SAP or should I keep working with ServiceNow? So these kind of questions where people are stuck, we want to help them to show their path. So that's our main motto of Let's Talk ServiceNow Clubhouse, where we really want to keep it free flow. Anyone can join. Anyone can ask whatever questions they have, even about the product. We will try to solve that. And we will share our experience. And if we go to Mavericks, it was mainly intended for sharing the knowledge about a particular stream in ServiceNow. So we did GRC. We did, for example, what was it?
We did ITBM. CSM,
ITBM, yeah, performance analytics, for example, you did that. The finance module, the latest one, Kupal did that. So the main intent was putting the audience into the tool, giving them some real-time use cases so that they can solve it and let them know that how out of the box this thing works. So we were really staying away from the customizations, but we were trying to build a ServiceNow resource who knows at least a high level of those modules.
Okay, so if I was new to the game and I didn't know kind of where to find these, are there official channels to go and find out like when the next one on the schedule is, how to access it?
For Let's Talk ServiceNow, we are going to release a schedule that is on plan because it was really a first episode in January. So there will be one episode per month over the year. So that schedule will be out soon. But for Mavericks, we have a pause because, and I'm proud to say that, our 70% of the audience in the Mavericks is at a good position in the ServiceNow ecosystem and out of India, for example, in UK, Germany, Netherlands. So really proud. And we are going to resume Mavericks, but with a different theme this time. I don't have dates, but yeah, we will share it soon with the audience.
Awesome. Good for you guys. That's part of what drew me. I got Dhruv on the show too, was just like, I see him one day and he's asking questions on community. And then it's like two weeks later, he's got this thing set up and you're drawing huge crowds of people too. So God bless you guys for doing that and being so successful on it. It's really inspiring.
And the thing is with Clubhouse, why it is easy to give the schedule is because it's our own time. But with respect to Mavericks, we are inviting experts like you, and you might have seen Michael was there. So to get their time is very difficult, and the time is very precious also. So we can't really publish the schedule in advance.
Is there anything else that you want to do that you haven't done yet?
yes, attend more podcasts. So for example, locally in the Netherlands, I will be doing one podcast in April. So I already know that. And in future, I want to be an entrepreneur. So I'm really working hard towards it.
It takes a special something, man. I'm trying myself. I got a few entrepreneurial things going on, but I remember I tried to start a ServiceNow partner. It was called Wolfpack Cloud Services. Oh my God.
And I want to do present in knowledge.
There you go. Yeah. I mean, they did the call for speaker recently, didn't they?
They did. So I'm already working on one case study on that. But I really want to present in front of the audience. So I love the interaction.
Yeah.
Because right now what we did was recording. So multiple takes.
Yeah.
But no, I want to do that on the stage.
Yeah, it's exhilarating, man. I did a couple. And I'd say that I did a presentation at Knowledge 13. And that was like one of those moments for the ServiceNow career where it was like, okay, there was whatever I was before that point, and then there's whatever I was after. So man, I hope and pray you get that that opportunity. Yep. And hopefully, I hear rumors that this year might be in person, right? So
fingers crossed. We literally had our tickets booked for Knowledge 2020 and boom.
Yeah. It just breaks my heart. Breaks my heart.
Yeah.
Have you been to in-person Knowledges before though?
No. So I was community MVP. I got the invitation, but you know, visa is always a tricky part for people outside of US. So no, but I was going to travel, but then it got canceled. But yeah, I went to Now Forum in Netherlands. It was awesome. That actually triggered me to be a speaker because respect you get and the way people start looking at you totally changes.
I definitely get that. And if I could just talk about me for a second. Knowledge 11 was my first one, and I'm blessed that I got to see, because I've never done a Now Forum, and I wanted, like, at least I went to Knowledges when they were small enough that I could get the Now Forum experience there. But at Knowledge 11, I was like, holy cow, they got customers that are speaking, and I wonder if someday I'll be good enough to speak at a Knowledge. Like, that's my goal. That's my life goal, is to be good enough to speak at Knowledge. And then next year I spoke, like at Knowledge 12 I spoke. Yeah. And I'd encourage everybody who's watching that, or maybe at the start, get that inspiration now. And don't think of it as a high bar on the ladder. That's bar one. No. You have it in you. You can speak about something, and like, let that frame your mind as you're doing your work in ServiceNow. Is just approach every problem like, what would speaking about this problem mean? Well, it would mean that you would have to have slain a dragon with the, you know, in this effort. But it can, if you think about it that way, you can turn around your whole approach to work in general, right? Today it looks like, oh, recategorize the category tree, right? And it's like, God damn it. Indeed. I don't want to do this stupid category tree reorganization thing. And like, what's the dragon here that I really have to slay? You know what I mean? So that I can weave an epic tale about it and then go present it Knowledge. So if you present it, if you have everything you look at is a potential way to present it Knowledge, it can completely change your mind about the work you do and how you do it.
Yeah. And the networking part is also important, right? When you go to Knowledge or any forums like this, your network grows and you meet great minds, which influence you and motivates you to be like them. So, yeah.
Yep. So here's hoping Knowledge 22 gives us that opportunity.
Yeah.
All right, Ashutosh, we are approaching time. So final word is yours. Is there anything that you wish the ecosystem knew, or any advice for the people on their way up?
Yes. The mentorship program is coming. So
it's here. It's here.
Yeah, it's here. It's almost. Ready. Yep. Mm-hmm. So yeah. So I request everyone who are new in the ecosystem to enroll for that, because we did Latin v Pratin. We invited great minds to speak on the forums. We have learned so much from them in our podcast, in Mavericks. And that is nothing but mentorship, right? You guys are providing your knowledge. I really encourage people who are really struggling in their early careers to enroll for that particular program. And for us, people who are with more experience in ServiceNow, try to mentor people. So go help there. Create great content, publish it, and be always kind. So that's my final statement.
Awesome. That's a good one. And we'll have links in the description below for how to access that mentorship program. And I'll take this opportunity. Big ups to Earl Duque of the Dev MVP program for getting that set up together. That's been his baby for a long time. So congrats and big ups to him for getting that set up. And if you see him or talk to him, tell him to stop dodging me and get on the Titans podcast.
He did the same for Latin v Pratin.
Okay. But now it's out. Now he can actually talk about it. So hopefully hopefully he'll be on our shows. All right, Ashutosh. I hope you have a great night. Thanks for joining me early this morning. And welcome to Titans.
Once again, thanks for having me. It was a pleasure to be here, and it was exciting.
Do you want your message in front of the best ServiceNow admins, developers, architects, and product owners in the business? Want a conversation about your ServiceNow strategy and architecture? You can reach me via my website at www.theduke.digital. If you want to contribute to high-frequency, high-quality ServiceNow content, all you need to do is
feed the algorithm
with likes, shares, and comments. Thanks for watching.